So you're living every fucking teenage boy's fantasy. Well, not every, but cooler boy.
And the nightmares.
you're in this place, this foreign military institution that takes people from various walks of life. Some are there hiding.
Yeah.
Some are there because they don't have another choice, and that's a good way to bring food on the table. And they're maybe trying to get out of some sort of horrible country where they're trying to just better themselves and their families. Some people are there just because they want to fucking fight.
Yeah.
Which is, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, some countries don't give you that fight.
Yeah.
And you're there. What the fuck are you there?
Man, I'm like a mix, right? I'm like a blend of like need to and want to. So I had told myself the story, I had nowhere else to go. Also, I wanted to write a fucking cool story. Mike, I've been all about living a cool, powerful tale. And I'm like, I never heard of a Navy SEAL being a Legionnaire. Come to find out, I'm the only guy to ever do it.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting piece that, you know, I kind of found out later. It was, maybe there's somebody else, but it's not recorded. So who knows?
Are you basically you're starting, when you say you wanted to like make a better story, you're starting to be more self-aware, I guess.
Yeah. I was like, look, I had realized I need some fucking time to burn off some karmic debt. There was that piece. I need some time to get, just to turn my brain off and just like get in soldier mode.
Yeah.
And so that was a piece. I also just had told myself, well, I don't have any other options, but I probably did. But that was more the corner I had painted myself in, right? That like we had talked about, Ed. And I went in and I just wanted to hard reset. And they gave you a fake name. They took my password. I didn't see that password for 2.5 years.
When you say they gave you a fake name,
yeah,
is that a choice?
No, it's mandatory.
So when you say your fake name, is that even, are they giving you a French name?
No, they take your country of origin. So mine was Trent Clayson. Trent Clayson from New York City.
Fake ass shit.
Yeah.
New York, you're Trent Clayson from New York.
Yeah.
And when you say they give you a fake name, are you getting paperwork with this fake name?
So after you pass your secondary IQ test and some medical checks, they give you this, it's. The simplicity of it is beautiful. They give you a sticky pad, and it just says, "You're Clayson Trent, fucking, and my birthday, and my new birthday, and the birth city." That's all it said. And it said, "They said, this is you now. This is fucking you now, man."
Are you getting tested on it? As far as like, if you fucking
I mean, there's not much to test, but they're like, "This is you now." You end up getting an ID card, and man, that's you. Nobody calls you by your real name. Nobody knows it by design. And anywhere you go in France, that's you. And I have pictures of it, but on my first deployment, there's a regularization situation military. They give you your real name back later.
They give you, so you get this new name, this new ID and everything. What's, you talk about selection, like the people wash out. What's this process like? And again, you've been through other types of selections. What's the difference in this one?
This one was very psychological because you're dealing with like a completely new set of problems in terms of language barrier and also isolation. You're also feeling of loss and loneliness that you're dealing with. Your whole old life's gone. You got a fucking new name, dude.
Are there any Americans in there with you?
Very few.
Where are all of these other fuckers coming from?
So the bulk were Ukrainian. The bulk were Nepali, Brazil. A lot of South American countries.
For people that don't know Nepali,
Nepal, excuse me. Yeah,
But these are like short.
Yeah, Gurkha. They're the Himalayan Sherpas, man.
These guys are, their lungs are.
Bro, beasts.
These guys are beasts.
Cardio beasts. And also just hiking beasts, man. And I got some stories about the Nepalese, man. They're solid cats. But they have a lot of them there because the Gurkha selection is so difficult.
And that's a second tier that they can go to, maybe some of them.
And so they all speak, you know, so that's their.
Yeah. So you're there amongst all these people with different.
Lot of African countries too.
What is this psychology that they're trying to fucking make you watch it? What are they doing to you guys?
So it's a lot of wait and just see where you land. And so that pre-selection process, then they put you down to the selection at the headquarter regiment down in Auban, South France. So you're on a bus and
are you uniformed at this point?
No, not yet. So you're still in civilian clothes, and then you go into the selection. Now they give you like a jumpsuit, Now you're kind of getting, and you're not getting screamed at yet, right? But you're still in like this like prison-ish kind of cliques and cars, and everyone's grouped up by language, obviously. And you're waiting, and they're kind of hustling you around. But
is there anybody there that has like no language friends in there?
You used to be the Mong, but there's more Mongolians now. But you know what? There may have been like one offshoot guy.
Imagine
but,
being that fucker.
But for the most part, I think, you know, you have at least one other guy, you know, that is in there with that can speak. You know, it's Portuguese, Spanish, English, and a lot of the Germans. They would probably be the only ones, but they speak English, a lot of them. So yeah. There's like English is the catch-all. A lot of people know at least some words.
But French is the main language being touted as the...
Like yeah, so the organization that's pretty soon they're going to start pushing that. Like, and if they hear you speak in another language, you're going
to
get
you don't know that. You're trying to make it. You have your jumpsuit on.
Yeah.
And you're about to.
Yeah. So now this is what they do a thing called the Gestapo interrogations. That is in a barred room. They're really leaning into you, and they leaned into me hard. Mine was one of the longest in our group. Mine was 4 days of like 8 hours of interrogations. They're like, what the fuck's a Navy SEAL doing here?
Yeah.
They don't want a problem with the United States government. They're like, what are you running from? What the hell really happened? Why are you here? And
do you get a sense that they even have access to any of your fucking
bullshit? Yeah, they looked up stuff. They looked up stuff on, I don't know where they found some stuff, but they definitely did their research. They have a team.
They open sourced you.
Yeah, they open sourced me, and they had some stuff that I had no idea where they got, but they got it, and I was pretty honest with some of my arrest stuff, and so it wasn't like I was hiding everything, but I was truthful. I was like, look, man, I need a second chance. I fucked up my life. And they're like, all right, that checks out, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't tracks. Like they get it, but they were like, dude, you're shark shit on the bottom of the ocean again. Like, do you understand?
Yeah, you're not going to get treated differently. Yeah, they're like, special.
And they're like, get ready, because you're going to be cleaning fucking toilets and shit. Like, are you ready for this? And I was like, no, but
we'll do it anyway.
But I'll do it anyway. And that was, and finally they offered me a contract. I could run and swim and do all that stuff, and getting back into running and stuff. I was scared, man, because the Legion runs. A lot of people don't know they are runners, man. And that was my arch nemesis. So I was walking into my biggest fear, fucking full force.
You go through this Gestapo. Like, what's the they're basically trying to fucking sort all you guys out, see if anybody is there with something that is, even for them, would be unforgivable.
Sexual crimes, any massive issues with, they do all your Interpol checks. So any real serious violations of arms trafficking, drug trafficking, they've had some issues with Interpol at the gates, you know, and they won't give people up either. They're pretty good about it. The Legion will protect theirs.
If you're already in, they'll
yeah. If you've made it through the gates and made it through selection. But after that whole selection phase, they take about 1 out of 15 guys that come to the gate actually get selected through that part. And then you go to boot camp, which is 4 months. So the selection.
It's a 4 month boot. Where is this boot camp?
So they put you on a train and they send you near the French Pyrenees by the Spanish border.
And is this when language starts getting?
Oh yeah, this is when they call it, full immersion.
Yeah, yeah.
This is extreme immersion.
It's extreme immersion.
This is extreme immersion.
This is waterboarding immersion.
This is waterboarding immersion where it was cold. It was wintertime in the French Pyrenees, and they send you to a place called the farm. That's the initial like kick in the nuts. And then if you finish a month there, you'll do a hike back. It's like 60 kilometers. And then you'll hike through. Really looking back, it was beautiful, but it was cold and miserable. But through the French countryside, small villages, sleeping in Catholic churches, man.
What are you noticing about the equipment they're giving you? Like
bare bones.
This is like
this is bare bones.
I remember my and this is a Mexican.
Yeah,
saying that the boots that he was given here by the military here is like fucking light years,
bro.
Like what? Could you describe this?
The kits and stuff were, you know, just very, very rudimentary. For me, it was, and luckily I went in with this, I don't give a fuck what happens, man. I'm here for the t-shirt, right? So I thank God I didn't have expectations going in. So I understood it was going to be, but it was, you know, really crappy H vests that were too loose and they weren't showing, dudes didn't really know how to wear them right. And it was doing shoot, move, communicate with guys who'd never been in the military. Some of them, some were very skilled. There was a weird blend of guys who were like from Belarus and all these.
You know,
it's like
people trying to fucking charge the fam ass with their other arm, like an AK. Yeah,
that's a weird gun, man. But that bullpup. But I actually liked it. I could nail drive with that thing.
Yeah. What's the you go this basic? It's 4 months. You say.
Yeah.
So what happens after 4 months?
Then they depending upon where you rack and stack, they rank you. Where do you want to go? What regiment do you want to go to?
So you could choose. So after you get through that 4 months, if you get preferential.
Yeah, the higher you are, then you could pretty much get your choice, and then they just go by needs of the Foreign Legion.
What's like the top one?
Probably
that people wanna go?
Like cavalry or the parachute regiment. Probably
cavalry. Is it because those are the ones that are going to go off to get into more shit?
The parachute regiment's a little more prestigious. It wasn't really an option for me because they're like, dude, your run times aren't good enough, but you're too big, right? I was too big and too old. So I was like, 34 going through a fucking boot camp again, dude. It was brutal. And I was 210 pounds, 215 pounds, and I'm jumping out of a plane, static line.
For people that don't know, after 30, your recovery.
Bro, I was
time.
Hurting.
It's like Wolverine, old man Logan Wolverine, when his powers are dying.
Yeah.
That's what happens, like, in this environment. Like,
Yeah, and I was not getting back into the run and just that pounding, man. Luckily, I feel way better now than I did then. I think it's just because I've got back on it and stayed on it. But that was real sore knees, sore feet, man. Real, like, just lethargic as fuck.
Where do you go?
I went to, I was kind of pulled aside and they said, hey, we got a commando unit called the Mountain Commando Group at the Mountain Regiment, right? And I'm like, well, all right. Well, I knew about that going in, right? They had small commando units, but they're like, you're going to have to spend a couple years, at least a few years at this mountain, like, infantry regiment. It's a mountain engineering regiment attached to the 27th Mountain Infantry Brigade of France. So that's where I went. I volunteered for the mountain regiment, and I hate the fucking mountains, bro. So
that's
imagine
where,
that.
That's where
imagine
you go.
That. That's where I went, bro. Glutton for punishment. And that's we were training in the Alps, man.
What's life like in a French mountain
regiment?
I
showed up at that regiment, man, and it was February. It's the most isolated French Foreign Legion regiment. Nothing around it. Two-hour bus ride to this. And I go, it's an old missile silo, like, the Foreign Legion took over, and I drive in and it's like quiet. I'm like, all right, maybe we're just gonna slide in here and it's gonna be chill. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna unpack my bags. Nobody's gonna be none the wiser, right? New guys coming in. I was fucking wrong, bro.
Who's there? What's the welcoming committee?
I open the door and I go, and I immediately knew something terrible was about to happen because it smelled like a fucking frat house. It was like stale beer, you know, that smell. And
yeah.
I went, oh no. And I'm trying to like, just, dude, I've been to the puppet show and seen all the strings. I'm just not on that program anymore. And I look down and I see just this like ripped tattooed dude with no shirt on. And I'm going, oh fuck. It's like Tuesday, bro. It's like a Wednesday. And I'm going, oh no. Come to find out, it was an unusual night, but we just didn't have luck. This guy was going, he had just passed selection for Mountain Commando Group and they were throwing him a fucking party. Every Foreign Legion company in the building has a bar in it, just so you know, has a fucking bar built in.
Attached.
So that was going on. I got hazed all night.
What are they drinking?
They're like, drinking beer. No hard alcohol. They're not like, that's one thing.
That's the rule?
That's the rule. Cool. Because shit would just be fucking, you got a lot of Eastern Bloc Russians. Dude, it would be all bad news. So just beer, but that's plenty. Dude, I'm seeing smashed bottles. One of the headshed guys slaps one of the Georgians I was with, bro. And we're crawling in the snow and the back of the building and running around all night. I'm up till 3, 4 in the morning, paint on my face. They got rat shit in my room. I'm just like, damn, dude. And I remember laying down and I went, oh, this is going to be a brutal 5 years, bro. Luckily, it wasn't like that all the time. But it was
a welcome.
It was tough because there was never always a tension. I never got comfortable there. As I got rank and I got some deployments under me and I got there, they knew who I was. I didn't get fucked with, right? I never had really issues like that. But there's always the tension between French leadership and foreigners. There's that very top down. Yeah. It is not, shut the fuck up, dude. Yeah. Don't ask questions. Go. It's very much that type of an organization, which is the stark apples and oranges from the SEAL teams, which is all autonomy, think and shooter. And now it was I'm glad I got both experiences, but it was rough.
It was rough.
Yeah.
You talk about deployments. Where are you getting deployed?
Dude, I go to the Mountain Regiment. I was like, man, it would have been nice to be able to go to the jungle, French Guiana. Yeah. Right? That was like badass jungle ops. What the fuck, you know? We show up and they go, hey, guess what? Your company's going to French Guiana for 4 months because we're a demolition specialty and they need people blowing up gold mines. So they send me down there, man, on my fake French Trent Clayson passport, dude. And I spent 4 months doing deep jungle operations with the Foreign Legion.
Describe French Guiana for people. Like it's not a place that a lot of people visit.
People don't know. France has territory down there. They use the euro.
This is in South America. It surprises me that not a lot of people know.
I didn't know. I'm Googling this shit on the plane ride over. It's just north of Brazil. So it's in the northeast corner of South America. And it's like between Venezuela and Brazil. There's Suriname. We were actually doing operations along the Suriname French Guiana border. And then there's another one, which is owned by, I think, the English or somebody. It's like the Dutch have some piggies in the French and then somebody else. So it's like the European little hands down there. And there's oil and a lot of stuff, infrastructure, but there is a lot of gold. And yeah, and we were doing interdiction for drugs, mostly gold.
Who's moving the drugs?
So they would be on these boats. We would stand watch. Obviously, we're on a little small outpost that's like way out there. And all night we would just kind of monitor, hey, these little boats coming through and they'd be going between Suriname and French Guiana. But a lot of it was patrolling for the Brazilians coming across the border and doing illegal gold mining. And also kind of protecting the legal gold mines. Because if you're going to gold mine down there, France is going to get their cut.
Yeah. Right?
That's why we're down there.
You're doing demolition, you're fucking security and shit like that. Like you're back in the jungle again.
Back in the jungle. Man, I didn't even think about that.
You're back in the jungle.
Back in the jungle. And you know what? It was 1 year to the day.
Yeah.
12 months to the day, man, where I was sitting in that jungle thinking about killing myself. I deployed down there. It was kind of a wild. I go, wow, what can you do in a year when you really decide to make a drastic change?
Are you settling in for the long haul?
I was like, let me get myself right. I want to build my body. I want to build my mind and build my resume. And then I was thinking, all right, maybe I'll contract in Africa, speak French, right? Because 26 countries in Africa speak French. So maybe I'll go that route and I'll have this experience. And that was kind of where I was trying to go.
How long you spend in there?
So it was four months down in there. And then we came back, did some anti-terrorism domestic missions also in France. And then we also did another deployment to Estonia.
What's going on internally in France, like that you're getting deployed? Like, what's?
Dude, I had no idea that they had serious issues with terrorist threats down there. I mean, they had the explosions down in 2016,
stabbings,
but also explosions and people dying, and so all places of worship and monuments. So the Foreign Legion, they use the Foreign Legion to patrol internally.
So you're patrolling the street,
the French Riviera. Topless chicks, me and my green beret and my HK. Straight up, dude. Walking on the sand. It's a trip, dude. People are like, hey, cool. Hey, it's now here, you know, in Mexico people wouldn't look twice, but in the United States, right? People.
And did anybody say try to speak to you in French and you're like any Americans you out there like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah. And luckily my French was getting better at the time. But when I'd be like, hey, dude, what's up? They're like, what? They see me with the French flag and the tattoos and this. And they're like, the head's going to explode, bro. I ran into that when I was working with the UK in Estonia on the Russian border. We did a deployment with NATO. And they'd be in the woods and they'd be like, I'm like, hey, dude, it's all good. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing out here? Dude? I'm like, bro, I don't know, dude.
I don't know how to get here.
Hard left somewhere, bro.
How you got there?
Yeah.
What are you doing in Estonia?
So it was when Ukraine was kicking off. They're like just flexing NATO selection. So it's called the Enhanced Forward Presence Battle Group.
And that's interesting. Like you've been in that space, the military, NATO area, military space. And we hear a lot of shit now about them being ready, them not being ready. Yeah. Like, what's your assessment from being there?
I'll tell you what.
Are they ready to get into a fucking fist fight with the Russians?
I'll tell you what. We would patrol out on some exercises with 86 tanks in a line. I'm like, I had never seen a movement like that. I have videos on my Instagram of 86 tanks, man. Foreign Legion in the front running some of the pieces. Damn, like 3 yeah. million in gas for a couple days, right?
Yeah.
Just so it was, they definitely, and that was just one location. They have one in Germany and Poland and a couple other enhanced Ford EFPs.
Like what, while you were there, this is 2000.
This was 2022.
So this is like, it's ramping up basically.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that were you experiencing the whole, oh shit, things are getting serious. Let's
you know, I was like, fucking, okay, let's do this thing and see where it goes, right? But, you know, it was, you know, flexing on the border. We're blowing shit up. Just kind of the letting them know presence.
Yeah.
Presence.
Yeah. But are you noticing or experiencing the buildup aspect of
so it? So we started to, yeah, oh, they were stacking up thick. But then an interesting thing happened. I mean, 10% of the Foreign Legion's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
So we had a huge mass exodus.
And all of them are leaving
to go fight.
And is it on their own recognizance, or
they
is
would
it
just
like
desert, leave, right? They, okay, that's the thing about the Foreign Legion is they're not really, it's not your country. So if they really like fuck off,
you could just leave.
Yeah. What are they going to do? So they were like, okay, some would leave and come back, but most would leave and fight. And I have a lot of buddies that are still there fighting as their home country, man.
Yeah. I mean, and they're, yeah, fuck, man. I don't know. I have friends that gone out there. I have a few friends who are Ukrainian who are fucking in that. And I also have some Russian friends.
Yeah.
And it's weird on my end kind of experiencing that whole back and forth there. But it's fascinating. See, you have all these Ukrainians in the French Foreign Legion. This war kicks off and they're like, well, whatever dreams I had in this are gone. I have to go back and fight. I don't think a lot of people know what that is.
It's wild, man, to see, you know, we had a couple guys die. I have an American buddy that's still fighting in Ukraine who was a former Marine who left the Legion to go fight. So it's definitely close. And, you know, I have some.
And I imagine a lot of these guys were the types that were there for the fight.
Yeah.
They were looking for that fight.
Yeah, they were looking for that fight. And then, you know, so there it is. And it came for them. And it's a brutal war, man, because it's a lot of waiting in artillery. And
it is. Like, I've been looking at videos of it. And stuff like that. These people are, it's trench warfare. It's.
Yeah, trenched in, man. Fighting for blocks. Fighting for months for blocks.
It's the sky. The sky is alive.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Phosphorus.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah, I had my Belarusian buddy who was in the Foreign Legion for me that went out there. He was a captain in the Belarusian army. And then.
What's, before it escapes me, you said there were Russian and Ukrainians with you in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would have guys who were Russian and Ukrainian just in the same room when this war's kicking off. And it's.
What are the Russians doing? Are they leaving? Are they staying? Are they just,
they're staying.
It's fun. So yeah. The Ukrainians go back, but the Russians are like,
fuck. Yeah, they're not getting invaded though, right? And so it's like there's that piece, and also it's like who's the little guy fighting?
And also, do you get a sense of them just not giving a fuck about Russia to come back and fight for it?
Yeah, it's so big that a lot of these satellite former USSR countries, right? Thing, it's so massive.
I wanted to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of our Patreon members for their generous support. It's the only way we can bring some of these amazing people behind the microphone and have some of these amazing Midnight of the Soul conversations for you guys. If you're not already a part of the Patreon community, please consider joining us. We have our giant online training catalog for you guys to have access to, as well as some exclusive Sneak Reaper Industries merch drops for you guys at the dead drop tier. I would also like to thank the company Sneak Reaper Industries, one of our main supporters and a company that provides some of the most amazing urban wear, survival specific, and cutlery out there. Your support not only makes this show possible, but also supports some of the charities that we run, including the Fighter's Kitchen out of Puerto Escondido, where we're supporting some up and coming fighters under the tutelage of Eddie Farrell. Thank you for your support, and again, please consider joining us on the Patreon. And now back to the show.
I mean, it must be surreal seeing...
And the Moldovians, right? And that's the one thing about the Legion I'm so grateful for. It gave me my scope internationally.
Your worldview.
Massively. Like, you know, I have Moldovian homies. And this people don't even, you know, all these countries that I didn't even really know existed before. I can actually put associations with cultures, faces, like what they're like, who their associations are with and who they're not, right? Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
Where does that take you in the end?
So that was the next piece. So now I'm looking. So I'm in this Foreign Legion barracks room, right? And I'm going, and I'm still not happy. What the fuck am I going to do?
Fulfilled.
Right? I'm not fulfilled. I go, dude, I'm the only SEAL Legionnaire in the world. I go, and I'm like, still have this hole. I'm still like not correct and aligned spirit, just psychologically and spiritually. And so I just made this decision. I'm looking at Ukraine, like, okay, my contract there. And like, and then
you're
I just had this,
you're thinking about going.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was, I'm already making plans, man. And so then I just have this moment where I'm like, where the fuck does this end? I go, where does it end? Do I just keep going to find like, what's the next badass thing, you know, that I can like make me feel like, no, I go, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about nobody who matters. Right. Or they might go, oh, that's cool. And then they're like off with their lives. When I'm like being egotistical about really what matters here.
You're trying to prove yourself to this fucking invisible
person, man.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. And I had this, I go, dude, I just got to make, let me just build my body back and my habits. Cause I think back, when's times in our life that we felt better when we've been more disciplined, right? So even in the Foreign Legion, we're getting up early, but I'm like, they're getting up at 5:30. I'm getting up at 3:30. I'm going to start waking up and build a good morning process. I'm reading about the samurai and Hour of the Tiger, 3:30, and this alignment and stoic philosophy. And I'm kind of reading all this stuff and it's all starting to fucking piece together finally. And I go, oh, I have to fucking like be better.
Yeah.
You know, it was like this like epiphany and all the time. Not like days off and kind of discipline, but like really kind of hold the line. Say no to myself. Imagine that. Fucking, and I just want to go do something. I don't do it because it's always when you don't see it coming, it gets you.
Yeah.
And that's like when I'm sure in times in your life when we're like, hey, I'm going to do this and like, oh, it'll be fine. And then it's not. And you're like, fuck, dude. Wow. I didn't see that coming. Damn right.
You have all these things click for yourself. So you are in an institution and looking for the next fight. And now you're like...
Yeah. And I was grateful because then at that time, I'm like, I have a little bit of rank. I had passed some additional courses and stuff that allowed me a little more time. So now my the thumb's not on me as much. So now I'm like, okay, all right, well, let me just start working out more, tracking my food more, start actually like diving into some more literature and I just do this all the time now. Right. And I just fucking really, that's where it started. I just started tightening my day up like a boa constrictor. You know, I started feeling better. Started fucking like having good days consistently, not these like highs and lows and self-sabotaging behavior. And then I built that, you know, a couple of years and I'm like, damn, dude, fucking got some momentum. And that's kind of when I shifted to, bro, I can show people how to do this, man. I was suicidal in my truck, right? And then I've done some of this stuff, you know, okay, but I still wasn't happy, right? Yeah. Which is what people relate to. It's
this,
like
this kind of roadmap materializes in your hands after you're like,
well, exactly. Exactly.
It's like you're like, holy fuck, this is
blueprint to wellness, right? Is kind of what it is. It's just simple fucking blueprint to wellness that people think is needs some complicated whiz bang shit.
You think somebody, well, like at least for me, I remember it, I thought somebody needed to deliver it.
Yeah.
Somebody needed to keep me honest with it, supervise me around it, or else it wouldn't count.
Yeah.
And somebody needed to keep track of my progress.
Yeah.
Or else it didn't work.
Yeah.
But no, none of that fucking thing is, that's Santa Claus thinking. No. Like you have to keep yourself on. You have to keep track of your shit.
And I think outside accountability helps in the sense that to get you the momentum.
Yeah.
To like get the habits rooted deep. If you don't have it, like it's because really, let's be quite honest, it's 10% information, 90% accountability of, and then it switches to yourself, right? Then once you're accountable to yourself because you just want to do it, build your self-worth off your daily habits, then the professional success comes. Then the personal success comes because you're just a higher elevate. You're elevated and you're aligned with that. And that spiritual connection starts to really click in.
It, I mean, your time there seems like it's winding down.
Yeah.
Are you conscious about it? Are you like, hey, this is, I don't know, this being in this place, it smells like stale beer.
Yeah. And I was so ready. So I was so ready, especially when I started like getting momentum and like getting friction from that. Because like it was time. You know when those winds of change start blowing?
It's like Forrest Gump when he's like in the middle of the desert, stops running. I was like, I think I'll just go home now. Right?
Dude, I had a moment. I had that moment. You know when it was, Ed? It was on a mountain. Fucking never forget it. I'm in a team lead course. We're going up a mountain. And I had torn my calf. 3 years before.
Ouch.
3 years before I tore my medial calf muscle and just never fucking stopped because I was terrified of like getting rolled back. But now it was like, you know, I needed to get it looked at, but I'm hiking up this mountain and I just was like, dude, fuck this. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Dude, I'm like, I know already where I want to be. And I had been getting a lot of momentum from what I was doing for a while. And I'm like, I feel good about like nothing up there is.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Not to mention, like, this, nothing I'm doing here is, I'm done. There's no other, I'm done here. What I needed to do here, which was get correct and learn how to fucking be happy with myself and not some external title.
Is here.
I've done it. And yeah. So I had this point, I'm like, dude, I got to get this checked out. They're like, all right. So I skied back down and I went into the hospital. They put me in the hospital for 6 weeks because they're like, what the hell happened? And I'm like, oh yeah, I tore it 3 years ago, you know, but they still don't know what was wrong. And anyway, so I spent that time actually was when I was like, you know what? I'm going to start doing some social media and like actually start rolling this out. I have time. I'm in a fucking hospital. And that's when I started practicing speaking on camera and like doing that stuff and actually structuring that blueprint. Like, man, if I was going to start put myself back into where I was in that truck thinking about killing myself, what would I need to hear?
Yeah.
That, and that's where I rooted it at its foundation.
And that's where it starts. I don't know. For me, it was like a moment of, the whole Forrest Gump in the desert saying, I think I'll just go home now.
Dude, that's so good, Ed. I had never made that association before with that, that.
Yeah, it's a time. Moment. You know, for me, it was, my mom passed away. Hmm. Long illness. Some psychiatric complications towards the end, and it was like a battle at home and a battle on the streets, you know? Like I had to responsibility over her sometimes, so I had to, like,
yeah,
you know? And then I would leave that and go fucking face a bunch of lunatics and work with lunatics out in the streets. When my mom passed away, they gave me 2 days off. And I remember just taking those fucking 2 days off, pissed off as fuck because I asked for three. And then I remember going back to work and somebody handing me this portfolio with all these new target packages. Like it's like this fucking trying to put a barrier of sand in front of the ocean feeling came for me. Like, and I told him like, hey, I'm going to need a license to separate from this work for a few months, if not a year. Just like, I can't do this anymore. And I wrote it out, gave it to them, and they denied it on the spot.
Like, no.
No. And you better get to the working with the program we have now, Ed. Like, we're going to work against these people over here, not these guys over there. It's like, that sounds like if we're going to work for a side. And I said, fuck it. And I stopped.
Yeah.
And again, the whole aspect of that was my whole identity, though.
Yeah.
That's who I am. Like, this is. Like, I did all this work. I'm going to retire here. This is what I'm celebrating. This is what I'm, none of that shit mattered. I remember having, just shutting it off and realizing how much it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
That it was there or not. It just didn't matter. But then you have to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
Some people put on the veteran hat.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then just sit and talk about that. Yeah. And they don't do anything with it, though.
Yeah.
You decide to do something with it.
Yeah.
You start a company.
Yeah. And that was the thing is, I'm like, yeah. You notice, I don't like talking about a lot of, like, military stuff and whatever, because I'm like, bro, what are we doing now?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing with it?
What are you doing now? Like, what businesses are you building? Are you building your body? Is your family good? Like, man, that, like, the people I hang around now who are veterans, bro, we won't talk about fucking bud stories and shit. Yeah, it's maybe just for a quick laugh, but then it's like, all right, what are we doing?
We're doing now.
How are we scaling?
Yeah.
How are we scaling? Where's the network going? So yeah, I started a company, right? And so I deal with everybody from CEOs, people managing teams, to guys trying to get out of their truck. Anybody who knows that they have lost their fucking mojo. It's the best way I like to say it is, bro, if you feel like you're walking through quicksand, you're like, something's wrong. I go, dude, that's not how we're supposed to feel as men. That's not normal. Don't normalize it. Don't get comfortable in your own agony, which is like, we just get used to it and dudes are tough. They're like, oh, I just kind of feel like shit all the time. I go, negative, bro. You can wake up stoked on life. You can wake up feeling positive. So what do we start to do? First, we structure the day, structure the morning, structure morning process. I go over visualization, mindset training. Then we start getting some momentum with that. Then we do work the nutrition. Then we work the training piece. Then next, goal setting, right? Then where do we setting those sector stakes? Then it's okay. Then that momentum begets the momentum. And then what do you know? Things start to align, the energy shifts, and then opportunities come. Higher vibrational opportunities come because you're higher vibration. That attraction starts to really work.
For somebody, let's say I'm an executive somewhere. I'm burned the fuck out. I'm on a bunch of Zen, you know?
Yeah.
I drink 2 Monster energy cans in the morning to try and get my shit together.
Yep.
I eat like a 5-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
Oreo cookies and fucking Nutter Butters in the middle of the day and shit like that. I'm trying to get my shit together. Where do I start?
First, when I talk to people, we get them on Zoom, when I go, okay. And I ask a bunch of questions. I really dig into, I go like, what time are you waking up? I go, let's start the morning. I go, what time are you waking up? What does your work day look like? What does your off day look like?
I wake up at 7:30 and I take a shower and I go to work.
I go, we got to get that way earlier.
But then I won't have any energy in the morning.
I go, well, do you want to make a decision? Do you want to be great or do you want to be fucking the same place you are now?
If you want something you don't have, you have to do something you haven't done.
1,000%. I go, why not try it? Try it for a week and see. So you're not going
to
die.
Let's say somebody's listening to this right now and they see themselves in you in the jungle.
Yeah.
Or you in, I don't know, when you're like
bottomed out.
Explaining away your open.
Yeah.
Scared.
In the chaos.
It's a scary, it's a fucking hopeless hole.
Yep.
To be in. The sky is really big and then you fall into the well and now the sky is that big, basically.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good symbol for hope. Wake up, the start of the day aspect of it. That's where you would start them.
I go, let's start deliberately. Let's get you a win to start. Set the wake up time, get up.
How early do I have to wake up, dude?
Well, I phase into it. If dudes are waking up at 8, right? And you're not going to wake up at 4. But the goal is 4. The goal is 4.
4 in the morning.
For a lot of reasons. They call it God's time for a reason. 3 to 6 in the morning. Why? There's less friction in the air. There's a lot of... Now, I work with guys at the swing shift, so things change. But the whole point is get up in a deliberate way. Start deliberately and efficiently and decisively.
What do I do in the morning?
First thing I tell people to do is fucking no phone, no email, no news.
Dude, I have to check my message.
Can't do it.
Where do I put my phone?
Don't get sucked into the matrix.
So do I charge the phone next to my bed or do I put it in the
bed? I set my alarm on my phone, but have the discipline to not look at it and not immediately go into distraction. Wake up, drink your coffee, go sit. And I go, here's the most beautiful piece to start in the morning. 5 to 10 minutes, just fucking sit. Just sit. The lost art of just sitting.
I don't want to sit with myself. There's some shit going on.
Yeah, exactly. With a little reflection. That's what we need. Guys like us need time to, as men, we need time to sit and think, man. Yeah. Just cleanly. No distraction. You haven't tossed extra shit on yet.
But the reason is that we're
And it's just reflect and keep it simple. Reflect on yesterday. What did I do yesterday that I'm going to improve on today? It can be breaking of character. It can be something regarding schedule. It can be, you know, you losing your temper with your wife or kids. All right, I'm going to improve on that today. One thing, boom, then shift. Then immediately go into some movement. That's like the next piece I go to. Not massive workout, but simple.
But physically active in
your
body.
Just to shed that negativity that's rooted in us biologically.
I have these issues as well. And I remember just adopting, I wake up early and I move in the morning, swinging those warm aces a lot and kettlebells. I just had this moment of realization where I was activating my body in the early fucking cold morning somewhere. And I was too busy to, I was too busy to sit with my own bullshit because I was fucking moving.
Yeah.
I was like, motherfucking thing is hard today, but not as hard as sitting on, like not as hard as, being in bed still and doom scrolling through the internet.
Ooh, yeah.
Dread, just fucking existential dread over you about whatever.
Yeah. Impending you're too
busy.
Doom.
You're too busy activating your body because you're, because that's what we're made for.
Yeah. That's the impending doom and anxiety of knowing you should be doing some stuff, knowing things are out here and not doing it and distract. It's just that feeling people get used to. That's not normal.
Yeah.
Shouldn't feel like that.
What else am I, do I need to change? Well, like what's the, what, like you start the day, stillness, quiet, no fucking doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Moving your body. Can I have a bagel in the morning?
Yeah. Well, if you're fixing your macros, and that's what we work on. I mean, yeah, you can, but I go, hey, I'm a macro guy. So I'm all about macronutrients. And so I actually give people their numbers. I issue them how to track it on the application. What a lot of people don't know what they should actually eat to look a certain way.
In my conflict, and again, I'm going through that. I hate myself. Hmm. Why the fuck should I be taking care of myself?
Yeah.
And having the time spent on actually looking what I'm eating because it's good for me, there's a conflict there for some of us.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fucking deserve any of this shit. Mm-hmm. Let me just go to McDonald's and get like a McFlurry or some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
How do you...
Yeah, I have to combat that. That's what I go into in the morning too, is deliberate self-talk. Self-talk is a skill set. It's an absolute skill set. I go into, I coach visualization and self-talk. And that is a piece that works kind of in tandem with fixing the habits, because it's very almost impossible to have positive self-talk with poor habits.
Yeah.
Those two, because you're not in alignment. Of course you're speaking bad to yourself, because
yeah,
you're like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit and I'm proving it. So I go, but also remember, I notice that there's a like a drag. You can fix your habits and then your self-talk is still rooted in your old self. So you got to fake it till you make it. I'm good, man. That impending doom, those negative thoughts that go, hey, dude, you're not good enough, man. Dude, you fucking can't make this happen. Yeah. This business is going to fail. Dude, you fucking are not going to get in shape, bro. It's not happening for you. No, I'm good, dude. I'm good. Incremental change, right? I'm just going to, all good. I'm going to eat. And then starting to shift the psychology of what you actually derive pleasure from, right? Not from the cake, but from the chicken salad, man.
I remember somebody described this to me. It's like, hey, like, yeah, you should eat this amount of protein and you should eat this type of protein and this. Like when you're eating it, you're visualize ingesting the nutrients that made that animal strong.
Damn, that's cool.
Right? It's like, oh, cool. Now visualize the nutrients that made that Nutter Butter strong. Like, oh, yeah. Fuck, man, you got me on that one.
Yeah.
I still eat Nutter Butters every now and then, but I understand that aspect. Yeah. With the hurdle of it. I found myself when I was going through that another way we hide ourselves is in others.
Mm-hmm.
Like we hide in drugs. Dude, I remember going like full sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
Like full sobriety. Sugar.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Everything. And fuck, man. Yeah. Some people talk about ayahuasca being hallucinogenic. Fucking full sobriety. You'll see shit. But some of us also hide in people.
Yeah.
Significant others. Destructive ass relationships.
Yeah.
Because
like codependency.
Codependency. And also, you know, people like you and me, we have this lifestyle, this kind of way of living, and this sometimes this glorification of, you know, toxic women and this whole fucking joy that brings our fucking dopamine starved minds. It's kind of counterintuitive, but for me, like going through a process like that involves a lot of
shedding of people sometimes.
And isolation.
Yeah.
Which is, you don't need to. Sometimes you do.
Yeah, people don't. I when God wants to make a man great, he isolates him quite often. If you look biblically, right, not to go into scripture, but it's just when you look back at history, is there any great story, any great hero's journey? There's a period of isolation.
Yeah.
It's always part of it. Why? man, you don't have time to self-reflect and get honest if you're surrounded by people, quite literally.
Yeah.
It's very hard, especially old habitual negative chaotic patterns. It's fucking almost impossible to get healthy and well in a place that made you sick. Very difficult.
Three things that people can get started on right now if they want to start moving that boat in the right direction.
Wake up early. Be deliberate about what you want and start eating more protein. Those three things. Yeah.
If you could go back to your fucking young self that was walking out of that prison and making that guard laugh, what advice would you give that fucker?
Stay focused, man. Stay focused. Don't make bad decisions. Be smart and strategic about the decisions you make.
Yeah. The aspect of staying focused and be strategic. Yeah, time exists. Consequences are a thing. Mm-hmm. And we're not immortal or indestructible and shit. Everything you're trying to avoid will happen anyway.
And you know what's funny is like that Stoic quote, people act immortal in regarding their vices.
Yeah.
And like mere mortals regarding their actual goals and what they want in life. We act like we're going to live forever, man, when we make bad decisions. And then when we actually are like, oh, I'm going to start this business, people are like, oh, okay,
they're conservative about it.
Yeah,
they're
like, conservative. Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah. Yeah. Dream fucking big is something that
absolutely.
The aspects of, you know, I don't know. We're not going to be able to get back a lot of the shit we lost on the way, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember having this conversation with this fucking dude that was going through some fucking health crisis shit. And the doctor told him like, you're just going through this early. All of us are going to go through this bullshit you're going through when you get to 70 though.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. Okay. We're always trying to fight the clock. We're always trying to avoid shit. We're trying to, you know, I'm 42 right now. Internally, I'm probably 62. I've went through a lot of shit physically, and I have a bunch of like maladies and shit like that are dragging behind me. Even though all that's true, I still fucking try.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to push myself into getting better, being better, and finding people around me that have pieces to that.
Yeah.
Which is the hard part.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us will always try and find our own solutions and kind of like be like what got us here, which is our balls and just fucking going through it.
Yeah.
But there's times and places when we need to stop and ask for help.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're trying to kind of provide for people now.
What got us through a previous chapter might kill us in the next.
Yeah.
And we have to evolve at some point. And people go, well, you know, I'm not going to reach out because it's weak. And I go, what's weak is not changing. What's weak is feeling like shit. What's also weak is not understanding expedited information.
Yeah.
Anybody who's doing anything has outside counsel. Fucking Michael Jordan had a coach, right? If I need help with real estate, I'm going to reach out to one of my real estate buddies. I'm not going to try to fumble fuck. If you haven't figured it out by 50, guess what, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
and not to mention, if you want to figure this out early, why not ask somebody who's already been down the path and is coming back and it's like, hey, here's what's up. Do these things and just structure it and set yourself, stack the deck in your favor. That's how I view it. Dude, if you haven't figured out and your body is not how you want it, how about, you might be able to figure it out in 3 years or 6 months. What the fuck? What's the costs downstream of you fumble fucking it for 3 years?
Fuck. Yeah, you have time until you don't.
Straight up, man.
And I've been around people that are on terminal time or towards the end of time. They all say the same thing, the regret aspect of it. Like I ask them, like, what do you regret? Risk, not taking more risk.
Yeah.
Which is counterintuitive. Like, no, you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but risk.
Mm-hmm.
And having the ability to having the opportunities to fuck up in amazing giant ways that nobody ever fucking thought. I remember shying away from some responsibilities that were thrust upon me. But if I never had those, you know, who would I be now?
Yeah.
And I think that's what people just kind of freak out with, the taking risks.
Yeah.
If you've never been in this line of work, or if you've just never had enough of a life story to push you into this world of doing and being out there in the middle of nowhere, hearing a call to prayer in the middle of the desert with a fucking sniper rifle, like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
And also finding yourself in that Forrest Gump moment where you're like, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm good.
That's enough.
Yeah.
People don't, a lot of people don't get there.
Yeah.
I'm amazed and glad that you are taking that and making a roadmap for people. Where can people find out more about your current work?
Yeah.
If they're looking for you.
Always my website, taylorcavanaugh.com. That contact form goes directly to my personal email. I don't outsource or AI anything. So that goes directly to me. You'll be talking with me. And it has a little bit more of the story and kind of how, what programs are available to people, and they can reach out something specific for them. Also on my Instagram, TCAV official. Like, I think that's how we connect. Johnny on the spot with those DMs. Once again, that's me. You're always going to get me if you reach out on there. And on my YouTube, TCAV TV, where I dive into a lot of the deeper principles and I do stream of consciousness. I also do some gym footage with some kind of bigger names and guys in the fitness space. But also we talk about growth, personal, professional, spiritual. I got entrepreneurs all the way to just fitness guys, military veterans. That's always good. And drop something in the comments. But always my website is the best way to get me.
Yeah. A shamanic experience. You know what a shaman is?
Yeah.
Like, by definition, a shaman has to die and go into the underworld and lose a part of himself.
Damn.
Those are kind of like the prerequisites of shamanism.
Wow.
And I learned this from a dude that gave me fucking toad scum to smoke. He looked at me and says, "You're missing a lot of parts, right? Like I'm missing my fingertip.
Yeah.
Some of my teeth are gone. My nose is all crooked." He looks at me. He's like, "You've been dead before, haven't you?" It's like, yeah, a few times. Shaman, you know? Yeah. But there's a difference between loco and shaman.
Yeah.
The crazy guy is a shaman that doesn't come back.
Yeah. Whoa.
And the shaman is the one that comes back from the underworld with lessons.
Damn.
Right? But he doesn't come back complete, which is the point.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, you're coming back with a shit ton of lessons with your trip to the underworld. I
appreciate that, Ed.
Thank you so
trip
much.
Trip to the underworld, man.
I mean, that was a ride.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming down and talk to us. Thank you for some of the lessons that you just gave us. And I hope people can find you out there.
Dude, Ed, thanks for sharing your story with me too, man. This was a pleasure for me and everybody watching, right? Because I love when there's like a mutual exchange, man. You've had your tale of, you know, digging deep, digging yourself out and getting ready. And
I'm Mexican Forrest Gump, you know.
And I'm name of the game, dude.
And apparently I'm still running. I haven't said, like, I think I should better go home. I'm getting there. I'm getting to my moment too. It's just a few more blocks, I guess.
We never hang up the cleats, just a different game.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Ed.